Shelby, I just have to say, you are such a great friend, because even in my lowest points, my most vulnerable, you know, you really pull through, because you sent me a very encouraging... Why don't you tell the listeners about the very encouraging video you sent me over the weekend when I was dealing with a bit of a spider problem?
Well, now listen. You were dealing with a bit of a spider problem while I had some very heavy drinking friends in town. And it was late at night.
It was after midnight, which, I mean, wouldn't a spider just fucking strike after midnight? Like, God forbid you do it in the middle of the day.
Right. They think that's their territory.
Yeah. How dare they?
From what I recall, and now I have not rewatched this video.
LOL. I was very sober watching it, so.
I asked everyone to support you in your spider hunt. Mm-hmm. They might have gone a little far and kind of circled back around to be afraid of the spider.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In which case, I do apologize. I should have known that I could not control these people. They are not like our nice group of girlfriends. You know, I like to dabble in different groups.
You do. You're a connoisseur of friend groups. Yes. Eventually, I did buck up the courage to kill the spider. It was very traumatizing. It dropped from the fucking wall and I ran like a scaredy cat. But then I eventually came back and I killed it and it was dead.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm Shelby.
I'm Sam.
It's the Rom Complex.
One, two, three, four. Oh, I'll meet you at the meet cute, wearing a meat suit. That's a suit, it's made out of meat. And you, and me, me, and me, and you.
That's
you know what, Shelby? It is a new month, right? With a new theme, and it's New York.
New York, New York. That's right.
My kind of town.
The city.
Isn't that?
Where the streets smell like trash and pee.
And women are randomly getting punched in the face for no reason. You saw that on TikTok?
Oh, is that happening?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see. I have not been on.
Oh, that's
the
right.
TikTok.
You're chronically offline. That's right.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing. I like barely am online.
Just don't go to New York. I mean, that's my philosophy all the time.
Yeah.
As someone who does not like New York City, but especially right now, don't go.
Don't go. I'm busy. I can't go. I'm busy. Sorry, New York.
Are you working?
I'm busy that day. I'm working.
Busy.
But no, we're talking about New York City all month long. We're going to talk about New York City set movies. I was going to say rom-coms, but like, come on. do we only just do rom-coms? I mean, come on. We did Dudley fucking Do Right. Come on.
I mean, we like to branch out just like you and your friend groups. The podcast likes to dabble.
We like to dabble. Love dabbling. Love to get a good dabble in. Ooh, yeah. It's only April and I'm already dabbling. Whew.
It's March. Oh, it is April, isn't it?
Yeah,
James, take that out.
The first movie we are talking about is 2002's Made in Manhattan, starring Jennifer Lopez.
And Lord Voldemort.
and Ralph Fiennes, who's like just an incredible actor.
He really is. He's so charming in this movie. Also, Stanley Tucci is charming in his own neurotic way. I mean, he's Stanley Tucci, obviously. The Tucci man.
The Tucci is there. Whoever plays J-Lo's best friend, she kills it. Natasha Richardson, she kills it. Amy Sedaris is in this?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? I even liked the kid. And you know how I feel about kids.
Yeah, that's
movies.
Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf. He grew
wow,
up to be a teen wolf.
He did such a good job.
Yeah.
Wow. Made in Manhattan. I had not seen it before.
I'm happy that we are recounting this first time experience on the podcast. I love this is like quite literally one of my staple rom-coms from childhood because I don't know if it was just because I was Hispanic or what, but like J-Lo movies reigned supreme back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, you've mm-hmm. got The Wedding Planner, you've got Made in Manhattan, you've got other movies, J-Lo, Enough. That's not a rom-com, but that movie taught me to never put up with domestic violence. But, you know, she really was like the it girl for the Latino community. So it was like these movies, staples.
Yeah. And also that Made in Manhattan, it's a Cinderella type story. Mm-hmm. It's like a Cinderella story. Yeah. So that's always appealing.
Yeah. Not to be confused with A Cinderella Story 2004 starring Hilary right. Duff and Chad Montgomery. No.
Mm-hmm. Of course. It is not a Cinderella story. Uh-huh. It is a Cinderella story.
Exactly. I love the nuance.
A Cinderella type story.
Yeah. We're a podcast that thrives on nuance here.
Exactly. Oh, we're so nuanced. Ooh. Ooh. We're so subtle. We've never said a curse word at all.
Never. We don't curse. We're ladies.
Why would we curse? We're ladies. So, Made in Manhattan, where yes. were we? Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. I was expecting something much cornier, mm-hmm. much like, I don't know, something that didn't hit as well. And also, it's like an hour 45. Mm-hmm. I was expecting to be like, oh, they could probably shorten it.
Right.
But I loved watching this movie. It was just a nice weekend morning. Mm-hmm. I had a great time. I loved how long they took to get to know the characters and get the story and relationship going because, mm-hmm. like, it ended up being like, oh, yeah, that's why some movies are more than 90 minutes is because they actually make good use of that time.
Yeah.
And this one did. Like, you felt like you really know Marissa and her son. Like, you get her situation. Mm-hmm. You get all of the decisions that she makes and you get why she's so fascinated by this guy mm-hmm. in a very Cinderella type way. Like he's, you know, a Prince Charming and yeah. she dressed up for the ball and caught his
eye.
She
had her fairy godmother get her into a Dolce & Gabbana matching three-piece set.
Yeah. I found it very charming.
It is. It's a very charming film. And I understand why you would... I don't know, the name Jennifer Lopez, especially recently, I know you're not involved on the ticky-tocky, but I do feel like at some point in J-Lo's career, like uber corny rom-com was what you thought of when you thought of J-Lo in a rom-com.
Yeah,
she
right.
made that fucking Amazon crazy ass movie / documentary. I actually don't know because I refuse to watch any of it. But like she is just... With her career, I think, I don't know if it's maybe like ego or what, but she got to the point where she just thought she can make whatever she wanted, even if it was a fucking $1 million vanity project and people would come to see it. But in reality, what the people want to see is the J-Lo from 2002. They want right. this version of Jennifer Lopez movies because she was in her bag. Yeah. She was in her bag in this era.
For real. So we start out, we see Marissa and her son, Ty. Her son is practicing for this speech he's going to give about Richard Nixon. The kid has a special interest. It's presidents. Go with it.
He's so cute.
He's adorable. And he's interested in them. And like when he actually gives the speech, he talks about how Nixon had like all of these, you know, contradictions and was responsible for violent bombings and stuff. Like the kid's not interested in him as like a hero. He's yeah. interested in like the complexities yes. of politicians. And so I'm like, I get immediately, I like this kid. He's not just a random precocious kid for no reason mm-hmm. that the writer is just like, let me put words in this kid's mouth to annoy the other characters. This is like a weird little kid.
Yeah.
And his mom, obviously, head over heels for her child. Mm-hmm. She works as a maid in a hotel, a very fancy hotel.
Yes.
Like one of those hotels, you know, that got a doorman, got
yeah,
people
that they
everyone.
Like know your preferences before you walk in and yeah. like make sure that the proper snacks are in the snack bar before you even. I don't feel like that's I don't know when that changed from being, because I feel like the amount of money you pay for even like low budget hotels, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like at least.
Yeah.
Don't make me feel like a number. I'm a person too, you know.
No.
You're right. I'm not. This is a simulation.
To them, you are a number.
Thank you. That's what I've always wanted. So, yeah, she works in this really fancy hotel. And you can already tell that she has rapport with like everyone who works there, from like the top with her bosses on down to like the security guard, right? Mm-hmm. She's one of those people off the bat, you know, she's friends with everybody. She's always the person you can tell at work. She's the person that people rely on for shit. So there's like buzz about a potential promotion or a potential manager position just opened up because someone was promoted or whatever. And her friends instantly are like, you got to get that position. Like that position right. is yours. You would be a great manager. And, you know, you kind of tell from the beginning that she is not very confident in that idea. She's like, they're not going to make a maid a manager. Very much like, I'm stuck here. This is what my life is going to be. Why would I dream about anything else? But come on, baby, you can't think that way.
Right. Well, she's just trying to get one day done at a time. So yeah. She's working real hard. She's trying to be on time to her kids' speech mm-hmm. and trying to get everything done at the hotel. She's doing all these errands for people. They're stopping her. She's helping the nice old man. She's helping Natasha Richardson checks in and is like, oh, Maria, do this for me, whatever. She is cleaning a bathroom and some politician guy walks in and to pee and he almost whips his dick out and she almost peeps his peen.
Peeps the peen, no.
But finally, she makes it to the speech. Also, the kid's dad calls and is like, I'm not going to make it. I'm in Florida.
Dude, what a fucking piece of shit.
And the kid was supposed to like go camping that with him that weekend. Mm-hmm. So
he was supposed to come to the speech and then they were supposed to have like a father-son weekend or something. And he's just in Florida.
Right. And then he does not show up for the rest of the movie.
Nope. But we don't need him.
And we don't need him. Yeah, well, because he's not there. Well, yeah, sure.
Poor baby Ty needs him because once he goes up to give his little speech, he gets all nervous and he starts to fumble his words because he thinks the kids are laughing at him.
Yeah.
And then he runs off stage because he's a child and that's what children do.
It hurts so much to
He is such a precious little kid. Like, honestly, he mm-hmm. fucking slays in this movie because you just want to scoop him up and like hug him. You just want to be like, oh, you're so cute. Like pinch his little cheeks.
Yeah. And this kid, he's fumbling his words. He does bad. And his mom is like, you know, at first happy. And then she watches and she could see just her how sad she gets knowing how sad he's going to be about this. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing she could do.
Yeah. Except be there for him.
Right.
With CDs.
Yeah.
Because it's 2002.
So he has to spend the weekend with her at work at the hotel. So he like hangs out in some room and she has to like leave him down there while mm-hmm. she goes to work.
Free daycare, baby.
Yeah. And that's... Did you ever have to go to work with anybody? Did you ever like go to work with... Like a bring your kid to work.
We definitely participated in some bring your kid to work kind of stuff. I always liked going with my dad because my dad worked in like not construction, but like interior stuff, like painting and shit. So when I went with him, I could paint a wall. You know what I mean? Like,
that's or
I
fun. Could.
Yeah, it was fun. But then as I got older, I liked going with my mom because she had computers at her job. So I could just like sit and pretend that I was like typing a letter or I would actually type stuff and print it out. And waste all the company's paper. So it was great.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you?
Harry Potter fan fiction. No. Yeah. One time I went, I remember being a little kid and going to an office with my aunt one time. She worked at a real estate office. Do not recall a single thing that I did there.
Cute.
I just remember it being a very like white and beige.
Sounds about right.
Office area. Yeah.
Were there cubicles? Do you remember cubicles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was not impressed by the the whole thing, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. You're like, this corporate America thing, not for me.
Not for me. I think I visited my mom as like an adult. I visited my mom at work once, but I guess I didn't really go to work with my parents.
Yeah. Any chance I could get to not go to school, I would try to use it. Fun fact, the day I found out I was diabetic, we had to go get the testing done early in the morning. And afterwards, I was like, Mom, I really don't want to go to school. Like, can I just go to work with you? And she was like, okay, fine. So we literally get to her job, probably after lunch. And I'm like, you know, starting to draw or do whatever the fuck kids do at an office. And that's when she got the call that they needed to take me to the hospital because I had diabetes.
Yay.
And genuinely, that's like the last time I remember going to my mom's office.
She was like, my office gave you diabetes. You can never
come back. You can never come back. Yeah.
So Ty gets kind of bored. He decides to go wander. He knows his mom is working up in the park suite. So like... Mm-hmm.
Floor 22.
He's wandering. Meanwhile, Marissa, up in the park suite with her friend, is looking at these beautiful, like, Dolce & Gabbana coat that Caroline, the Natasha Richardson, asked Marissa to return to the store or something. Her friend is basically like, hey, she asked you to return it to the store. It's not back there yet. So it doesn't technically belong to anyone right now.
I love the logic. This is like the origin of girl math. Like we're doing.
Exactly.
We're doing the calculations and just go with it.
You are 100% correct. And her friend is like, when is either of us ever going to have a chance to try on something like this? Ever. And her friend makes a very convincing argument to stealing this woman's clothing, basically.
Yeah.
And I was totally for it. Her friend's crazy. Who cares? Yeah, the coat's exactly in J-Lo's size. Put it on her.
Yeah. The idea that fucking Natasha Richardson and J-Lo are the same size, laughable. I feel like J-Lo's super short and I feel like Natasha Richardson's pretty tall. There's no way they're the same size. Also, J-Lo has an ass. I mean, rest in peace, Natasha Richardson, but she didn't have the same.
She was a slimmer figure.
Yeah.
She was more lithe. She didn't have the
same. Yeah.
J-Lo, I mean, watching this movie, I was like, damn, they should put J-Lo-shaped women in movies more often. Holy shit.
All the allusions to her ass, too, like later on when she's like trying to see if there's something on the coat. She's like, is there something there? I'm like, you're just showing your ass. That's just, you're just, that's product placement, essentially.
Absolutely. So the kid is going up in the elevator and he runs into the politician, Chris Marshall, played by Ralph Fiennes.
Voldemort.
He's got a big old dog that he's going to take for a walk, and his assistant or whatever is Stanley Tucci.
He's like campaign manager.
I don't think he's an assistant. I think he's campaign manager because Chris Marshall is running for Senate or he's like announcing a bid for the Senate race.
Correct.
Ty, the kid, runs into Chris in the elevator, starts talking to the dog, and then the kid's like, I know who you are. I know your voting record. I know your stance on this stuff. Because the kid is obsessed with politics.
Yeah.
So of course he's interested in this guy. Yeah. In the early 2000s, everyone in rom-coms was Republican. Like, I don't know if you remember, like, anytime they would talk about it. And it's also so weird in this movie because he's, like, a Republican and they're talking about, like, oh, make sure whoever you take out is not a Democrat or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a silly little joke back then.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember?
Yes.
20 years ago, it was just a silly little joke.
It wasn't life or death. It was just, like, honestly, 20 years ago, it was just like, yeah, Republicans are sometimes more conservative than Democrats or, you know, whatever. Now it's literally polar fucking it depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
Polar opposites, which is just so funny because his character in this movie is, in modern terms, Democrat coded. Like, he to me is like a fucking Pete Buttigieg in the way that they're portraying him in this film, or like a fucking Beto O'Rourke. Right? Because he's like this kind of young, like this young guy trying to get into the Senate, and he has all these ideas and he wants to help, you know. He's just like, oh yeah, we're doing this for the underprivileged people in this area. Right, whatever. Right. So like, he's definitely like young Democratic politician coded in 2024 times.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know how to translate it. I don't like to think about politics anymore.
I mean, it's probably a good thing.
Since around 2016 or so, something happened. I don't know what it was.
I don't know how you could pinpoint it so specifically. Maybe just like November 2016 or...
I'll look.
Maybe even January 2017. It's really, really up in the air.
Who can say?
So they bond. He likes this kid. He thinks this kid is funny. Rufus likes this kid because he's a dog and dogs like pretty much everyone.
The kid is like, if my mom says yes, can I go on a walk with you?
Which is so cute. I loved that from him.
Yeah, adorable.
And he's like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, so, and he's like, my mom's up in the park suite.
Mm-hmm.
So they go up to the park suite. Bam, timelines collide. J-Lo is wearing the Dolce & Gabbana suit, coat. Uh-huh. And she's like dressed in all of Caroline Lane's clothes.
Yes.
And it looks extremely fancy. Looks like she's the one staying in the park suite. And
she's not her maid right. costume.
So Chris Marshall is immediately like, hubba, hubba, hello. Because he's like well known. It's like well known that he's kind of like a playboy.
Or that, yeah, that he just went through a breakup.
He just went through a breakup and...
And like the media, I think...
The media is very interested in who he's dating.
In
yeah.
his sex life, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So he sees J-Lo and he's like... This hot
hello.
Bitch.
Yeah, he's like, hello, mine. Sex life. You rang? So he assumes that this is Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, they walk in the park with the dog and the kid, and they're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about stuff. J-Lo, like you said, tells him like they should spend time.
I think she talks a little bit about his politics yeah. there, but mostly it's just kind of like, you know, so why are you doing this? Like, it seems mm-hmm. really hard to have to balance your personal life and the political life and, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff. And he's just kind of like, oh, you know, it is hard, but I'm a warrior.
Yeah. And they have such an easy rapport and conversation. Mm-hmm. And like when the kid is playing with the dog, J-Lo kind of opens up to him and is like, hey, you know, Ty had trouble with public speaking thing mm-hmm. and he's been feeling pretty down about it, and she's like, and I don't really know what to do, and he's like, and I yeah, I'm a public speaker, so you thought maybe I would have something. So
yeah,
so then he talks to the kid and
it's
gives
so
him
cute.
A little like tells him he has a little trick where he holds onto a paperclip mm-hmm. real tight and like puts all of his nervous energy into it, and he's saying this like he's just saying like it's kind of like a, and then the kid will say like a whatever. And the kid mm-hmm. just does half the work. And that really, it's so easy to talk, to like be a good presence mm-hmm. for a kid. Like yeah. they'll listen to you and like do half the work of understanding what you're mm-hmm. telling them.
Yeah. And sometimes, yeah, they're very eager to be like,
right.
what? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially yeah. when they're like obsessed with you. Because at this point,
oh,
Ty
yeah.
is pretty obsessed with Chris, so you know he's trying to impress him and be like, I'm smarter than all the other kids.
Right. So they have a very nice day. Chris is like, hey, there's this like ball on Monday or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to come as my date or whatever. And she's like, I'm busy, whatever. And then she avoids him. She can't let the ruse.
Right.
Like, she can't let him know.
Yes.
She immediately is like, I cannot let this man know that I am a maid because I've already, this was messed up. There's
yeah.
no way to explain it away now.
I'm already
going to
get fired. Let's add fuel to the fire. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris, the next day, he asks the head butler to invite the lady from the park suite,
mm-hmm.
Caroline Lane, to like a little luncheon in his room.
Yeah.
And of course it goes... Well, it disappears for a little bit, but we know it goes to the wrong person. It
yes.
goes to Caroline. It doesn't
right.
go to J-Lo.
Right, because nobody is in on this ruse except for J-Lo and her little friend, and Ty, obviously.
Right.
Yes, and so at some point after the whole park rendezvous, it's like right after, actually, right after she gets back and like takes off the Dolce & Gabbana suit and like is trying to put it away, she gets called into her like boss's office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, listen, with the vacancy open, blah, 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 we had no idea you were interested in like management. And we really think this is a great opportunity. You just have to like complete some butler courses, which like, why would you need to complete butler courses to be a manager?
Well, in a lot of places like that, like fancy hotels, fancy restaurants, it was like mm-hmm. this at a fancy steakhouse where I worked. In order to be a certain level of something, you have to spend time in each area of service. So, like, to be a waiter at the fancy restaurant where I worked, mm-hmm. people had to spend time working in the office, working yeah. at the host stand, working in the kitchen, working at the farm. Like, it was all...
There was a farm?
Yeah, it was so fancy a steakhouse that it had its own farm for, like, that's vegetables.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I understand that. I do. But there's also the part of me that looks at those two boss characters, and I was like, neither of you have worked in any other area of service at this hotel.
Right.
So, like, this bitch has been on the ground floor for however long she's been working there. Just... fucking give her the manager job. She knows how that entire building operates. Like, she doesn't need to know the niche details of what is excellent butler service in order to manage her butlers.
Well, she might need to replace them at some point. Like, if she needs to step in when someone's out. Like, as a manager, you need to be able to cover each area. I think I just would be a better manager, Sam.
I think...
maybe I should be a manager.
You should. Oh, go ahead.
Oh. Call me when it's a woman manager.
Ooh. Anyway. So. So in the course of this little thing, she starts her butler training with the butler man. Does he have a name? He has a name. I just forgot what it is.
Lionel.
Lionel. So she's starting her butler courses with that, with Lionel, and... that is when she is informed that she will be assisting him in butler duties in Chris Marshall's room.
Right.
For his luncheon that he thinks J-Lo is attending, but is in fact Natasha Richardson.
Right. So then Marissa, J-Lo, is with Caroline when Lionel comes in and is like, hey, did you have a response to that lunch invitation? And Caroline is like, oh, what the fuck are you talking about? And Lionel's like, the lunch invitation from Chris Marshall, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, my God. So her and her weird friend are, like, talking about what should I wear. Mm-hmm. They're like, Caroline was is like, freshly broken up with.
Mm-hmm. And her boyfriend is, like, or her ex, I suppose. She's trying to get back at her ex, essentially. Right. So we've been seeing little bits of her, like, obsessing about him. And what he's doing and what he's noticing or not noticing or whatever. So when she gets this invitation from Chris Marshall, she's like, oh, I'll make him jealous. Right. Like, we met one time and I didn't even realize he remembered he met me. But wow, I must have left an impression.
She's like, he must think I'm a little hottie and he knows hottie I'm here somehow. So... Mm-hmm. So the luncheon comes around. Oh boy, J-Lo, how are you going to get out of this one? While she's like hiding, Caroline comes in. Mm-hmm. Of course, Chris is immediately like, what the fuck?
Who dis?
He's very polite, but he doesn't straight out say what's going on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't straight out say, I tried to invite someone else. Of course, that would be impolite. He's just, you know, letting her talk, and she is unbearable. Turns out she's just got a bad personality. You can't hold it against her too hard. She's just a person with a bad personality.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Can't do much.
But Marissa is, like, hiding, covering her face. Chris starts talking to Lionel. He's like, this is not the woman. She's dark hair, very beautiful, maybe Mediterranean.
This is the sticking point. This is something I wanted to talk about today. Is this the second J-Lo movie we've talked about?
Yeah.
If you'll come back in time with me in our time machine that we definitely don't own, The Wedding Planner, J-Lo played an Italian-American wedding planner.
Of course.
And in this one, now we have Voldemort thinking that she's Mediterranean.
Yeah.
But then you also have, like, the racist connotation of Natasha Richardson's character calling her Maria.
Yeah.
So I'm like, she's very clearly Hispanic in this. Her mom is a Latina lady, but also, like, weird, random, like, backtrack really quick. The actress that plays her mom was in the original cast of In the Heights on Broadway, and she played the character Nina's mom in that production. So every time I see her, I get excited. Anyway.
Yay!
So she's very clearly Latina, but the fact that they would even put it in the dialogue for Chris to say, you know, dark hair, you know, like Mediterranean. What?
Maybe Mediterranean. Maybe she's Mediterranean, Sam.
She's not.
I am.
And you don't look like J-Lo.
I sure don't.
So I think it's kind of an obvious, Anyway, that was just something when I watched it, I was like, not again. Like, are we... This is the second time. Why are you doing this to my girl J-Lo?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, off they go. Lionel realizes that Chris is talking about Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts, like, protecting her and is like, I'll do the mm-hmm. stuff. And is like, okay, you obviously don't want this to be known. He starts protecting her. Literally everyone in the hotel covers it up.
I love it.
That she does this.
I absolutely love it.
Every single person, their lips are sealed. There is no information getting out about nope. this.
Not at all.
So,
because even the security guard sees her on the footage.
Yeah.
Her in like the Dolce & Gabbana getup. And he's like, he tells her at the end of the day, yeah. he's like, hey, I saw something kind of interesting today. And she's like, what? No, just don't say anything. And he's like, I'll do it for a price. And the price is like a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah. He's like, I'll forget it all for a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Which is sweet. It was very cute. But mm-hmm. we think it's all going to work out, don't we?
Do
we? So she, okay. So basically Lionel is like, you need to go to that ball thing, mm-hmm. the gala or the event that he invited you to, the dinner.
It's like a benefit
dinner. You need to go to that and cut it off for good. End mm-hmm. it for good so that you can just go through this management program. Once you're a manager, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Problematic messaging, but right. okay.
Right. Right now, well, yeah, he's like, you can make your own rules, but right now you gotta like, you know, play along with this. So...
So she goes.
So she goes. She's wearing this dress.
Yeah. I love the glam montage in this because she goes to her friend. She's like, I don't got anything to wear. Like, I don't know. I can't get a fancy dress for this fancy dinner. And her friends are like, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And it's like all of the service workers essentially being like calling in favors and like getting their other girls in the department stores and the jewelry stores and all this kind of stuff to really like doll Marissa up so she can wow her man.
And she does. He's there. Friggin' Caroline has secured a ticket, is trying mm-hmm. to get his attention, Chris's attention, but he's like not noticing it until, you know, Marissa shows up and she's like, you know, I need to tell you that what's between us, it's not going to go past tonight. And he's like, well, then you should have worn a different dress. Oh! I hooted. I hollered. Samantha. Woo! What a line. Baby.
Oh, God. That's so funny. It's a great... No, it's... The delivery, the line... It's 10 out of 10. No notes. No notes.
No notes. So, of course, she has this romantic evening with him. Mm-hmm. Does she cut it off? No, she fucking goes home with him.
Of course she does. They sleep together.
Right.
Hell yeah.
In the morning. And then, she turns into a pumpkin. She's got to go.
Yeah. She sleeps with him in his hotel room at the hotel that she works.
At the hotel. Yeah.
Fucking, that's manager moves right there.
Right?
Fucking in the hotel. That's what a manager does.
She kind of like, she kind of was like, well, guess I'm doing this. She just like gave into it.
She was also kind of pushed, like throughout the night, she was kind of pushed by the various different people. Like she gets a talking to from Stanley Tucci's character. And like she has a little run in with Caroline, who does not recognize her as the maid from the hotel.
Right.
And she kind of like, you know, says a little, she fires back at her so she can just shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So I think after all of that, I don't want to say adversity, but all of this like being thrown at her, she's like, you know what? I also deserve to have fun and I also deserve to be happy. Yeah. So I'm going to go fuck this congressman. Or no, he's not a congressman. Wannabe senator.
Right. So the next morning, Caroline and her friend see her leaving the room. Like they see Marissa and Caroline finds like the footage with the security guard and she sees finds out what happened with the coat and stuff mm-hmm. and reveals all of this. Marissa is immediately fired and she has to go.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to see this guy? And she's like, what? I'm going to go get another job at a different hotel
mm-hmm.
and be a maid again until I can be a manager in training for a manager again. And then I'm going to do that. Just going to keep working my ass off like I always did.
The reveal for this bit is really quite heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Caroline figures, they figure the whole secret and they like have a whole situation, right? Chris is in the room when they have Marissa come in and she's like getting fired. Chris is also confused. He's like, I thought your name was Caroline. She's like, no, my name's Marissa. You know, it's this whole
right. Oh, right. I forgot about that whole part.
Yeah, you know, that whole big climax. and so, you know, it's heartbreaking for Marissa, right? Because she thought that, honestly, she thought she was getting away with it. Mm-hmm. She was like, I did it. It's like, whatever. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to get this manager job. And then she's kind of like, because he's dumbfounded by it. He's like, why would you lie to me? Like, why would you pretend you were something that you weren't? And she's like, you would have taken a second look at me.
Right.
If I wasn't in the Park Suite, in the Dolce & Gabbana set. Like,
for sure. Yeah.
She's like, we met before and you didn't even recognize me. And they have this fight pretty publicly in front of a lot of cameramen and reporters.
Right. And yeah, she's standing up for herself, like, she's not wrong, you know? And, you know, she's like, yeah, I did something kind of crazy, unethical. It's one little mistake. People make mistakes, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she's going to move on with her life. And he goes off and does his Senate run stuff. Ty, of course, is the little sneaky little kid. He's the one who, after some time, I don't know how much time passes. After some time, this kid goes to one of Chris's speeches or press conferences. And he asks a question. He speaks first. Immediately, I was like, oh my God, the kid's public speaking. And I was like, yes. So the kid's public speaking, he's asking.
He overcame his fear.
Right. And he talks to Chris and he's like, you know, should people be forgiven for making mistakes, you know? And what if it's not a politician, what if it's like a maid, you know? And kind of talking about that. It's very cute.
Yeah. I love Ty. He's so cute. He's really his mom's number one fan. He's really there supporting her.
Yeah.
And then so obviously Chris is like, of course I should just forgive her.
Right.
And he runs to find her at her new job, right?
Yeah.
Because she got a new job like almost immediately.
Oh,
I'm like, wow, what a 2002 thing to do.
Right?
Could not be today.
No.
So he finds her like cleaning a room, not like a bedroom, but like a office.
She's in a break room.
Oh, it's a break room?
Yeah,
sure. I knew it wasn't like there wasn't a bed in there, but I couldn't remember. I thought it was like a little mini conference room or something. He finds her. Immediately just like walks up to her and kisses her.
Absolutely.
Like no, like I was wrong or like nothing. It was just right there. Kiss on the lips.
Yeah. And it worked. I mean.
And then all the photographers and stuff came in too, catching them kissing.
They caught him kissing and they're like, whatever. Because Chris's thing the whole movie, like he doesn't really care about the paparazzi and politics involved in his love life. Like Stanley Tucci the whole time is like, you have to be with someone who's got a good family, clean record, isn't a Democrat, doesn't have any, you know, anything weird about her, you know. And he's like, actually, Caroline Lane would be a pretty good pick. And of course, Chris never gave a shit about any of that. He's just like, the heart wants what it wants.
He's in love.
So the credits or whatever, or at the end, you see that he got elected and they're still together after a year and she's in management and blah, 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 happily ever after the end.
Honestly, though, if I married a senator, I would not be working. Not at all. I would be at home with my son living off my man's bankroll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why would I need to work?
Yeah, absolutely not. But then again, the hustle culture of the 2002s does not currently exist.
It's true.
At least not in me.
And also, for some people, their work is very fulfilling for them.
Can't relate.
Right. I work because I have to. Mm-hmm. I podcast because it's fulfilling to me.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this movie. Again, this is a staple. But I think that the relationship between these two is very well done because it's very clear from the beginning that, one, Chris wants to listen to every single thing Marissa has to say. Mm-hmm. Everything she has to say, he is interested in. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lot of people are like that, you know? So that's hot. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but I talk a lot. So it would be nice to have someone who wants to listen to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? And yeah. Someone who's like very powerful actually listening to you mm-hmm. is like such a fantasy. Yeah. And I think it, like it's the kind of wish fulfillment like fantasy that people like to read. It's even, I mean, people like Pride and Prejudice, and Pride and Prejudice is something that did not happen. It's mm-hmm. like, it simply didn't happen, really. Like, the stories that happen in that, like a poor girl marrying a rich guy, it just didn't really happen.
Don't say that. I'm trying to manifest.
I'm not saying it can't happen.
Yeah. But you're setting a limitation on me specifically by saying that it didn't happen.
I see.
Because in my head, I live in like the 18th century. I don't fucking know when Pride and Prejudice takes place. It's like Regency. No, maybe. I live there and that's where I'm trying to find my man. So don't put the limitations on my past life.
I've just been distracted by the information Uh-oh. That this movie was nominated for 3 Teen Choice Awards.
You know what? That was such a prestigious nomination.
Yeah.
For this film.
Something I noticed watching this, and I'm looking at like reviews of it too, and it's pretty low rated, which is so funny mm-hmm. to think about. People naming it one of the 10 worst chick flicks, saying Jennifer Lopez was like one of the worst actresses mm-hmm. in it. And I'm just the whole time thinking like, damn, I would take this 2002 rom-com over some of the absolute shit that comes out these days that just looks bad.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks shitty. Like, what are you doing?
It looks shitty and it is shitty.
And it is shitty. And yeah. like, it's like Made in Manhattan. It's better than Madam mm-hmm. Web. I'll tell you that. It's a better made film than Madam Web. So I don't know what to tell you.
What's that line? He was in the Amazon with my mom while she was studying spiders.
Yeah, before she died. Yeah.
Before she died.
I have no problem with that line.
No, I just love it. I don't have a problem with it. It's excellent. It's excellent writing.
I, of course, love the shot they used of like a guy climbing down a tree and it looks really stupid. And they use the same shot like 3 times.
No, I like the end where she's blind and she's she's just like staring out the window. Anyway.
I like how she crashed a car into a person twice.
2 times. A taxi and an ambulance.
And
it
was not a callback or anything.
Nope.
Like, it was just...
Nope. She just crashed the cars.
She used the same attack.
She's like, you know what? This worked the first time. Gotta use it again. But yeah, I think this movie, like most rom-coms, especially in like the early aughts, I feel criminally underrated because people are like, oh, what's this garbage? But then they forget that worse garbage came out afterwards. So it's this is cinema in comparison.
Absolutely. Because I wanted to watch the Oscars, I got like a free trial of YouTube TV mm-hmm. and I've had Turner Classic Movies, which my boyfriend's really into it. So he'll put it on all the time and he's put me onto this. These old movies are fucking great. It's so good. It's just art. It's literally art. And then I'm like, Madam Web is what we're getting these days. I'm sorry.
Dude, you don't have to. I love a superhero movie. You know that.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they're so much fun. But making it just to make it without any like thought or care in the script or the story or anything, really.
It's just
it shows. You can see it. You can see it immediately. And that's how I feel about modern day rom-coms. Like it's people making rom-coms because they think they are lucrative. Mm-hmm. Instead of making them because they have a good story or a good concept or a stellar cast that wants to work together or something like that. Because I think when those good movies shine through, it's obvious that it was a passion project versus, this is a cash cow.
Yeah. For your Cinderella type story, mm-hmm. obviously you wouldn't want to be a maid or in Manhattan.
Definitely not.
What would you want to be? Would you want to be like a
barista?
A barista in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Well, in my ultimate fantasy, I'm a barista in a small little coffee shop bookshop in Scotland somewhere.
Ooh.
And just a handsome studly fellow walks in. He's like, I just sheared some sheep and I need a coffee and a book. And I'm like, You're too big for this establishment, my guy. You're too tall. I'll bring
He's
it
like
outside.
He's like hunching and ducking to get
just
into
to
the
duck
house.
Duck in doorways. Yeah.
Oh, you want a husband you have to keep outside.
Yeah.
An outdoor husband.
An outdoor husband. Yeah, I feel like that's right. I mean, okay, listen, just at my workplace, we would obviously make modifications to the house so he can fit inside. But he's wealthy, so he can make those mods.
Okay, yeah, he's wealthy and he's got a lot of energy and mm-hmm. strength.
Yeah, and he herds sheep.
Love that for you.
Yeah, that feels right. What about you? What's your
nine to five
occupation?
No, I wouldn't want to be the Cinderella.
I want to
be
the senator.
Prince Charming, obviously. Yeah, that's more my style.
Okay, so then what job would your Cinderella be doing?
Unemployed, probably.
You know, that tracks. That fits with what everything that I know about you. So they have more time to devote to
me.
Exactly.
That's right. Fantastic movie, as I was saying.
Yes. So much fun. I love this film. Genuinely, I haven't watched it in ages. And I was like, dang, this movie is actually really good.
Yeah, I didn't think J-Lo was that bad. I mean, I don't think that she was acting, really. She was just reading the lines. But like, sometimes that's enough. Like, the character was not far enough from her, you know, natural way of speaking
exactly.
to really. Yeah, it was
the
fine.
Character was essentially J-Lo if she had a like
if she were a
class job.
Yeah,
which she doesn't. And she seems to forget that she's like a multimillionaire and not a regular person.
Didn't you want to talk trash about her?
Listen, I don't want to talk trash about J-Lo because then I have this giant fear that I'm going to end up like Ayo Edebiri on SNL where she was the host and J-Lo was the musical guest. And
oh
she talks shit about J-Lo on a podcast.
That's
All
so
I will
funny.
Say is there was a recent video circulating the interwebs of J-Lo doing one of those like... I don't think it's the Vogue 76 questions thing, but it might be. I'm not sure. I've only seen clips of it. But they're asking her questions, and she's trying so hard to be relatable. And here's the thing. J-Lo built her brand on being Jenny from the block, right? Mm-hmm. She's from the Bronx. She's from New York. She's just like you and me. Bitch, that was like 30 years ago. You are not relatable. You are not. When was the last time you were even in the Bronx? When was the last time you were just like a person who didn't have millions and millions of dollars? You didn't. So people are making fun of her because one of the questions was like, what was your go-to bodega order like back when you were in the Bronx? And everyone is tearing apart her order, that's not real. Like, what are you even talking about? Nobody from New York would ever say anything like that. And then there's a particularly cringy video of the question person asking, like, what's something that people from New York say? Or, like, say something like people from New York. I don't remember what the fuck it is. Something like that. And she just looks at the camera and screams, fuck you, with her, like, middle fingers up. But she does it in the, like, I'm a New Yorker. Fuck you. You know, like, it's such a caricature of New York City. So she's being torn to shreds. And I just think J-Lo embrace the fact that you're not relatable. And stop pretending that you are. Because you're too rich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A person is not a brand.
No.
Like, we all know that, right? Like, the people out there as their brand are not that thing.
Quick, get J-Lo on the phone. Get her on the horn.
Hello?
Call her up right now.
Jennifer?
Hello, Jen?
Jen?
Jenny from the block, if that is your real name.
It's not.
No.
Listen. You're a rich lady.
Act like it. Like, I don't want my celebrities and rich people to be relatable. Like, I follow you because I want to see the absurd things you do with the amount of money and access that you have. And I can pretend in my brain fantasy that I
could
do that.
And you can be like, you know what? Or maybe she just is so separate from it. Like, I was really fond of my time in the Bronx. I haven't been there for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So though it's always my home and my heart, I can't really claim it like that way anymore or whatever. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Just be honest and genuine. And people love that.
Well, the thing, too, is that most of these answers are like predetermined. So I'm like, you could have maybe done a little more research. Let me be like call phone a friend.
Yeah.
In New York and be like, hey, what are you getting right now? Like, what's your bodega?
Yeah.
So you're prepared. But, you know, I just think it's funny. And I will never watch that movie or the documentary. I actually don't know if they're two separate films or if they're together. It's called like This Is Me Now or something like that. It's J-Lo's little vanity project on Amazon Prime.
I don't need to see that.
Me neither.
Anyway, if y'all would like to see more of us, you can follow us on social media at The Rom Complex. We're on Instagram, TikTok, those kinds of places.
Yeah, check us out. You can also send us an email. It's very 2002, I will say, sending an email. But we do have an email address if you want to, you know, aim chat us or something. That's not right. Aim chat. Anyway, email us, theromcomplex@gmail.com.
If you would like to help us out and hear more extra bonus content, you can head on over to patreon.com/theromcomplex. Go ahead and throw us a little subscription and we will be very thankful, and you will hear mini episodes and also get tarot readings from Sam. And also, if you're a $10 patron, we'll even shout you out at the end of our little main episode podcast. Here's some shout outs for you guys, starting with Alex AWOL, Darling, Homebody.com, Nicole J, HPG, J Train Choo Choo, and Catherine W. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you guys. And remember to keep falling in love
with yourselves.
Bye.
Bye.